everyone is, I am a firm believer, especially after watching Gender Code, is on a spectrum.
Oh,
it's how you align yourself and what you are attracted to. And it, and Gender Code does such a great job, and it visualizes. That's what helped me the most, is like, I see all them pictures, I'm like instantly attracted.
Sweet baby angel. Hi, welcome.
Hi.
Hi, Noah. Welcome to Date or Not, the podcast featuring your favorite bitch, Maria. I'm working on an intro and I don't know how good this is.
It'll get there. I feel like it might be a little sexier in the future.
Should I do like ASMR? I'm thinking maybe like test that.
Hi, welcome.
Hi, welcome. This is your not so sexy host, Maria. I don't know how to do the sexy thing. It's never worked for me. We just talked about a weird hip story of me having sex and my hip locking. It just doesn't work. You know, it's fine. I'm a big old shit show.
Uh-huh. 2 minutes in, I'm very excited to see where this goes.
Are you? It's not even 2 minutes. We're like 30 seconds in, which is even better. But anyways, hi, I'm so excited to have you on. Something that I want everybody to know is that I know what you're 19 and it's literally just like blowing my mind because you have this old presence. And
I'm like
an
old crippled man.
That's, you know, we did talk about that a little bit. We are falling apart. But it just blows my mind because I always think that you're in your like mid or late 20s. And I think that you give off such like an amazing calming vibe. And also, you know, we talked a little bit about not only the subject matter that we're going to talk about, but just kind of like our bond immediately, like when I first met you. I just felt like you and I just, again.
It was such a compliment getting to know you in the studio that first day. Like walking over to the picture wall and just really talking and, you know, just it was a genuine connection. But that's really everyone at Bike to the Beat.
Mm-hmm. I do want anybody who's kind of walking in to listen to this, like to know whatever you want them to know about you. You and I just met.
I'm a quirky person. I really enjoy the small things as much as I enjoy the large things.
Wink, wink. Don't lick my pop filter, you sick fuck.
And I definitely, you know, I obviously spend with Maria. Outside that, I've recently just come off of a different life change, a little bit of a shift. Kind of the same time around COVID. I feel like that was for a lot of other people in life. Yes, I am an old man. I enjoy old music. I love me some Nat King Cole. You know, I'll take it back. And I like old references. But as far as that, there's probably a lot of familyhood traumas that I could share with a lot of people.
All of us are just like, please, let's just trauma bond all day.
But yeah, and that's the, you know, I'll also leave that at the door and then just carry it on with me. I'm, what are they called? Empaths? Where it's like, oh, I'll relate to anyone. But I feel like that's just a Gemini thing.
I love it.
Geminis
are
the little chameleon zodiac. Just like any social situation.
Gemini that I have in my life.
That's very exciting.
No, I need to know.
Uh-huh.
Are you dating?
No, I'm not dating.
You're not dating? Why?
So I have a hard time explaining this sometimes, but, and we're getting into it, but I don't date often.
Okay.
And there's the part that's exclusionary, just being gay, like a homosexual descent. And there's the part of it for me personally, like I date to look for the one in many situations. And I know that's a very young thing, or it's a very like, wishful thinking, especially with our day and age. However, I've never strayed outside that. I've always thought about it as far as like me going into a relationship, and I'm super, maybe too picky, very, very picky right off the bat, and which is literally limiting my options in an already limited pool of people. It's like crazy.
But hold on, I'm gonna bring something to you. So why would you want to settle though, right? Especially at your age, like you're supposed to be in this experimental phase of your life. You're supposed to be figuring out exactly what you want, how you want it, when you want it, right? And especially within the people that you date. I don't necessarily think that being picky is not an option, because you don't want to date trash, because then you build these like tendencies that you're going to carry on in your, you know, late 20s, your 30s, your 40s, even your 50s. And then at that time, that's going to be something that's not unlearned. And I mean, coming from somebody who's been in like serial monogamous relationships until now, being like 30 and finally spending this year dating, where I'm figuring all that out. Like, I wish I was a little bit more, like, I think picky at the time. So I think you're doing it right. And maybe that's a little subjective, but I mean, I personally, I don't think that you should ever think that you're being too picky. I think you're just, you, again, you know what you want, and that's perfect.
There's, and listening to the first episode with you particularly, it was a nice relieving, I guess, like kind of thought of saying like, if I ever wanted to stray outside the bounds, and it's like, I don't do the hookups either. And like, I'm very, I guess it's because in that area of life, I'm very emotional. You know, I'm fun, happy, go lucky on the outside a lot of the times, but in that area where you're inviting that level of intimacy, I am very emotional. And it's like that validation is something that's really important. But going back to the original question is like, why not dating? It's hard sometimes, you know, like the accessibility, and we have it on our list of things to talk about, but dating apps is like the only avenue. It's like, I learned at the youngest part to kind of pick apart what I wanted based off of the fact that I didn't have accessibility at my hands. Like, falling in love with a high school crush or doing anything like that, like, it was majority of the time rejection because the person identified as straight or heterosexual. And whether they were or weren't, it wasn't, it's just so complicated.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I am 19 years old, so it's not like I have years into it either, but based off of going like that, I got to see all my straight friends make the mistakes. the couples that would fall into love easily and then fall in love. And just drama, you know. But like, past relationships, I've never had an official, like, I've never called someone like my boyfriend.
Okay.
I've never had the time, up until very recently with, we're going to call him H.
I like it.
Was there a time where I got to put the emphasis publicly on a certain person, and it was a different feeling. And I think it did hit me harder, mainly because I was really infatuated with this person in like the most healthy way. Like, they were a great person, my friends, they were a great person to every single person around them. You know, it's just not their time. And that was a hard thing for me to grip first. Cause I wasn't the first, it was a longer process for me. And that came out of the fact that it's never been official. I've never showed anyone. I've never kissed anyone in front of my friends until this year. Like, it was never accessible. So it put me into a place now where I'm really at the point again where it's like, I don't need a boyfriend to be happy. Yeah. I don't need a boyfriend to be successful. Because there's certain points where it's almost, everyone falls victim to the whole idea of needing someone.
Yeah.
Or you're not full without someone.
Yeah. And the fulfillment issue.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's that same comment I made about, like, you know, having kids for fulfillment. Same thing as having a partner for fulfillment. And we've all been there, right? I don't think that, like, I don't think that that issue itself is like very subjective. I think that every single person out there like is bred to, you know, need companionship. Like, I think that that's just us as like Homo sapiens. Like, that's what
we want to love and to be loved.
Ugh, sick and dirty. It's awful. I'm just kidding. But I'm a sucker. So who am I kidding? But speaking of dating apps and a kind of like accessibility is into what we talked about. Are you on dating apps or are you exclusively off of them?
So, in the gay culture, for whatever that would speak to, and also to like give myself not the most credibility as far as the whole, I'm not super like emerged within the LGBTQ community. I've lived sort of an independent identity. I don't even know how to explain this, formulate it. Like, I've gone my entire life with the perception that I never came out. I only came out to like a select group of people. And that would be like my dad, my mom, a small group of friends. And that was it. After that, I just stopped telling people. It was like, suddenly I just say yes. Like, do you like guys? Yes. I never wanted it to be a question or need to be an announcement. So going back to the, that being said, it's like when I talk about these topics, it's something I'm in the process of still educating myself with going on. Like, as I grow up, I'm still learning. I'm still educating myself because I'm not going to share any story saying I got bullied, because I was really on top of that with my own identity. Like, I was very, there were times where it was like obviously insecurity just based off society alone, but yeah. Like, I had such a, I guess, like, following at school that it was like I could be ahead of it. Like, if anyone wanted to say certain names or anything like that, usually it'd get back to me pretty fast and I'd be ahead of it, and that way a lot of people aren't like privileged that same way. So Those are the stories if I ever came upon, like, I would want to share, because there are people out there who personally have been victimized by that sense of cruelty. So I just want to get that out there, as far as like me saying I'm not coming from a place of hurt. I've never been like directly called like a faggot in a hurtful way. There's never been the slurs or anything like that. No one's been ever physically beat me down or anything like that. Like, I've been very, very, very lucky in my own identity. And I think the way I've gotten to find that identity also has been very fortunate. But I'm still rolling with the punches as it goes. Like, it's still evolving even to this day.
Is there certain work or like things that you've done in your past and even now that you would say like a tribute to that?
What do you mean by work?
Like, work in the sense of like finding your identity and being so confident in who you are and being kind of like in this sector that's making it sound almost like privilege is a choice sometimes, but it's like, from what it sounds like on my end, is that you've made actionable steps to be able to kind of like step away from this kind of like hurtful environment, or put yourself in maybe, or surround yourself with the right group of people that were like your protectants or whatever that may be. Like, did that look different for you from like maybe like other experience you've heard of or been involved with or part of? Or do you just feel like, by the grace of this universe, like, you've just, again, like you said, like, just naturally been privileged?
Well, it's weird. I don't think about this a lot, but I definitely had the upbringing of like social media. And so with that being a thing, like, I was in my room from like sixth grade to like eighth grade, like on the computer, like strictly playing Minecraft.
Mm-hmm.
And like tons of other kids my age doing the exact same thing.
Yeah.
And so there was an avenue of having those conversations.
That's awesome.
And meeting people that allowed that to grow within me. And like, how random, like, mm-hmm. how I, like, looking back, it's just like, that was it. And that was the only way too, because I knew no one.
Yeah.
No one, not one person at my school or anyone. We're only 11 years old. You don't know your own sexuality. Society will know your sexuality or imply a sexuality on someone who acts the same way as the stereotypes. So growing up also, I was very competitive with sports and things. So those could have been actions that allowed, like, when I came out to my father, Lewis Harrigan, if he ever listens to this, I said, I like men. Like, I didn't preference it. I'm gay or anything like that. Because it was a person that at his work that was bothering me, just how he was treating women. And so I just was like, I like men. Like, I literally, whatever. And he said, are you sure? And I said, yes. And he literally was like, oh, like, you're going to have a rough life. And so that being said, it just like, it, I was independent to it. Like, the idea of like, I was never affected in that way. Like, it was more of like, I traded it as my own thing. And then going on, like, I made the steps. I was in sports. He never saw it. So it's almost like the people around me never saw it, although they did. They'd talk about it, but I would always, in some ways, maybe bully at a very young age. Like, don't call me that or anything like that. If you ever talked about it, I'd be like, why is it your business? And I'd get more aggressive about it.
Yeah.
But then it was just like,
And I fucking love that, right? I think it just comes down to like education. Cause I look at like our generation and it just definitely wasn't like that, because I'm that bridge of growing up without the cell phone and then with the cell phone and then come social media. So we've essentially seen it all. We've seen, you know, or like even our parents' generation, where it came from like the 60s and 70s, the discrimination, and then you go into the Stonewall riots, right? And then you go into like the, you know, the early 2000s, where it is like the, you know, excessive like bullying and things like that. But again, it's like lack of understanding and education. And then now it's like, what I love about your generation is like the equality is real across the board. And I think that there's a call for that, like that revolution, and something that we kind of like will touch upon later. But that's where I kind of wanted to know your experience, right? Because you did bring up like that privilege point, and then at what point were you putting in that effort? And from what it seems like, it just kind of almost like came like at a natural societal kind of step.
And that was the people I was surrounding myself with too.
Yeah.
And I think it was more, I kind of going along with what I said earlier about the independent identity thing, since I never attached myself to something of saying I have to be gay.
Yeah.
Or I have to be flamboyant, or attaching myself to those own stereotypes. Mm-hmm. In a way, I allowed myself to be like normal, or what I perceived as normal. Because, yeah. I mean, in a weird complex, normal is different for everyone. So therefore, difference just normal.
Yeah.
But that allowed me to like not blend in, but people didn't need to talk about it because I was okay with it. It wasn't a big deal. Brush it off, act the same way. And it became educational for people at points. Like I had multiple straight men ask me like questions that always come back to like their own identities. And I found that very interesting growing up and very confusing.
Mm-hmm.
Very confusing. But
are you saying like as straight men just like not knowing where they lie on a spectrum?
Or asking for like just in general questioning as far as like, oh, like you should like blah blah blah, and I'll be like, I'm pretty sure they're straight, so I'm gonna say no to that. And they're like, oh, and it's like for their own identity, like I'm like, do you not see it that way? And they would be like, well, no, I see it for myself, but maybe not for that person. It's like, well, maybe that's where it is for everyone. And also what it went into with gender code as far as talking about femininity and then masculinity and what we're attracted to. That's for later, though.
I love
that's it. That's something that's such a brain move right there.
I know. I can't wait. I was up till like 12:30 last night.
It starts ticking. I'm like, I never thought about it that way. But no, anywho.
It's so good. But I do want to bring it back to age. So was that the first time you fell in love?
No.
No.
I fell in love. I will be ripe for this one.
Oh, God.
But I fell in love, young love. Very young, and I literally thought my world was gonna end without that person. But in the weirdest way, now looking back at it, it's like if I could have this person as like my best friend, I would love to keep it at best friends. Like,
yeah,
it was such a different feeling to have, and it was also part of just like that group of friends at the time. But yeah, that was like my first love, and like I didn't and I would relate everything afterwards to that feeling. I was like, no one ever gave it to me that way. And there was never any kissing, never any holding the hands, no confirmation whether the person was even like into me that way.
So it was just pure.
It was just pure emotion on my end. Like, how awkward. And that's, I don't know if that's something uniquely like gay people experience. I don't know if like a girl growing up will fall in love with a boy and think it's her first love.
Mm-hmm.
Or if I'm just completely delusional, like completely delusional. Like I was pretty much just talking to a wall the entirety of like the like year of us being friends or something. You know what I mean? Like it's from a perspective that someone not being gay will probably look at that sentence and be like, what the hell is he on? Like, that doesn't make sense. It's different. And that's really what I hope to provide by talking about this all. Yeah. It's just, there's so many layers to coming to terms with trying to feel normal.
Yeah.
In a relationship, which led me to the person that I think like I did have an emotional connection with that I never got to the layer of like love.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't use that term with him, but we were, it would have been a high school, like if I'd been a girl, if he was a girl and we were just a normal couple, like we talked to each other, we got to that level of intimacy. We were always there for each other. We would make each other laugh. And this was in high school. And, you know, just because of us being like two guys and him being like a little bit more suppressed with his identity, at the time it was like, I was crazy. He wasn't feeling any of that. Mm-hmm. It was really hard for him to talk about anything like that. Then going to 2 years later, when I have no remotely connected feelings to that anymore, because it's in the past, and this is someone that I FaceTime on the now and then just to check in with now, but they would not admit anything to their sexuality, to where at one point it just snapped. He had a different perspective out of nowhere, and it, he was completely okay with it. He was like, oh yeah, I'm talking to people on Tinder and like all this stuff. I'm like, okay, go off, like, you know, you're doing you, and like, yeah, you're having fun. I'm like, it's a different person now. So the person I knew was the person I was having fun with and fetishizing in a way, because okay, they were very popular at their school and they were masculine, they were straight at their school. I was open at my school, so at that point, and it was like, you dream of that more realistic, like, I'm gonna be on the bench, mm-hmm, cheering on my boyfriend because I want this to be a thing so bad.
Yeah,
you want that high school relationship, you want to be on ASB, and you want to have like the identity of like a female to male relationship, like that's all you want to do is like fit in, mm-hmm, and you want that so bad. Like, there's no way of getting to talking about it other than understanding, like, you don't innately, like, a person that is that relationship innately feels that. They're going to have that because they're just going to naturally, one guy's going to like them and they're going to be like, oh, I'm taking you on a date.
Yeah.
A guy and a guy relationship will never have that. They're never going to have that. They're going to be fetishized by their own community. If they achieve that, they're on a spectacle. So they're under immense amounts of pressure at such a young age, with an age of social media on top of them. There's so many layers to that conversation. And it's hard. That's why it's like, to date or not.
So interesting that you bring that up. What was his, what was like his perspective on everything? Did you guys, I know you said that he wasn't as open, but mm-hmm, did he ever kind of go into that as to like why he was trying to perceive this one piece of him that he was? And granted, I'm sure he wasn't like out yet or he wasn't as comfortable, but for the people that he knew, was he able to have the conversation?
So, yes. And this is where we are now. Back then, mm-hmm, he never was able to talk about it openly. He would have girlfriends in and out.
Yeah.
And basically, from what I've gathered, and obviously I would never want to put words in anyone's mouth, but, you know, I think he wanted to fit in. He had a school that wasn't accepting, from what I think he feels. I think at the end of the day, anyone's going to, my belief with coming out is if you put it out there into the world, like, you're only helping yourself out at the end of the day, because you're going to pick that part back up about, mm-hmm, yourself. Like, you unfortunately just have to deal with it. Like,
yeah,
so hard to say that out loud, but you just unfortunately have to go with the role and the punches that come with it, because you want to love yourself more at the end of the day. Like, that's the only way you're ever going to love anyone else.
Yeah,
openly, you can't love your parents if you're just suppressing yourself all the time around them because they don't accept you. Like, they're going to learn to accept you because they want to. If not, I don't even know where to start that conversation. That's where I said I don't have that. I was very privileged with, yeah, my identity and my ability to learn about my own identity. Mm-hmm. But going back to the person we were talking about,
yeah,
I believe they had a religious upbringing on their mom's side, one of the sides. And they were always perceived to lead by example. They're the, okay, oldest. They're going to have a girlfriend. They're going to go to college. All this stuff. Yeah. Fairy tale. Was never their reality at all. So I think because that and school, same thing. You want to feel like you want to fit in. You want to be normal. And he has a massive pressure that I've never been able to understand, because on himself, like, he is someone that's, I need to get A's all the time. Yeah. And, you know, like, and you build that. You build that insecurity even more when you, I think so, when you amount pressure from other people, when you start letting your own like ambitions get ahead of yourself, because like if you're not dealing with that most important part of yourself, your own identity, your ambitions and stuff, they're gonna fall through. You're gonna crack at the age of 40. You're gonna be in that married relationship. You're gonna be one of those three couples out of the four in OC that divorce. You know, like
episode one plus, baby.
you're gonna be in that boat, and you don't wanna be. So that's where it's like, that's one thing I love to get out by talking about it and opening up a conversation about loving those that may not know and just talking about it.
Yeah.
And trying to be as open-minded. And if he'd had that at a younger age, maybe he would have been into a place where it could have been the opposite, and I could have been the person that's having a hard time dealing with it. Who knows?
Yeah.
So that was specifically him. But now he's on Tinder. He's running himself around and just having fun, you know, being youthful.
We love to see it. Yeah. Damn. So something I know you touched upon when we were texting is you talked about a level of exclusion within the gay community. And I know that you said that was something that you were really willing to talk about. And I kind of want you to dive in. You gave me like a little bit of a teaser, but just.
So going upon about how I built that identity, that individuality per se, as sad as it is to admit, at such a young age, I felt as though, and this was just a natural instinct, by the way I observed the world and the people that were I was surrounded by, like my dad, burly man, muscly man, you know, he did it all, sports, all that, grandma, Catholic, that perspective basically created it in me. And I identified, like, the moment my cousin walked in and showed me porn in the third grade, I was like, I definitely don't want to see that vagina.
Okay. How dare you? I'm just kidding.
I do not want to see that. I was like, what is that? I'm definitely focused on that man. Like, that's what it was for me. And I knew that at such a young age.
Oh,
so me understanding that, obviously that's where it's like, oh, if you talked about it, I'd be like, well, back off. But, I literally thought of it like, oh, my dad's the white man. He's straight. Like, he's above me. And then there's me. I'm just unfortunate. Like, I'm gay. Like, even when my dad told me, like, oh, you're going to have a rough life, I'm like, yeah. Like, I already knew that. Like, that it was just so easy for me to understand in a way that most people struggle, like the person we were just talking about. But, and then I'd be like, there's an entire people below me. Like, I would, like, profile. I'd be like, there's the trans community that would be, like, below me. In a sense that, like...
What do you mean by that?
I'd be like, oh, I'm gay, so it's not that bad. Like, I can still love and feel, like affection towards women. Like, this is young Noah processing. Mm-hmm. We're probably talking about, like, 7th, 6th grade, 5th grade, something around there. And then I'm like, it's, you can't change your identity. You can't do that. Like, that's against the rules, like biologically.
Yeah.
And I'm like, looking back at it, like, I would slap the shit out of young Noah and be like, wake the f*** up. But, you know, you just learn that on your own time as you educate and open the conversation. I would sit there and say the level of like exclusion that I now face is where I think. And this happens on like Tinder, Grindr, things like that. People will ask for, I want mask. Mask means like masculine. Mask for mask.
Okay.
So they will say like, I want someone who's going to act straight.
And these are, hold on, and these are like requirements that people have in like bios?
Or yeah.
Like, interesting.
Not requirements, but like it's just something you throw out
there.
You're
about me.
Yeah. If you want to talk to me, be mask.
Interesting.
Because that's the suppression of society.
Yeah.
We innately want what we can't have, and that's to be straight as a gay man. And I say that with like the undertone of being sad, because that's unfortunately what it is. Like that we almost fetishize in its own way. Like I did that at a young age. Like I wanted that high school relationship where I am on the ASB branch and I'm cheering on my boyfriend on football or volleyball. Yeah. And that goes into adulthood way more. To where it's like people will, it's so shallow. There's no intimacy allowed. There's no part of the conversation started. It's like you can be picky, but now you're just being like, it's almost like an insecurity in a way. You're like, you're really shoving a different side of yourself, I think, when you obviously that's what you're attracted to, but like I think there's just more, and that's where I'm developing my own, like, what am I comfortable with, like, mm-hmm. how far, like, there's this show called Are You the One on MTV that it's a house full of bisexual non-fluent or gender fluid people, mm-hmm. and they can all like each other, and the point of the game is basically you have to find your match. So they yeah. match you with someone in the house, and you have to find your match. So the entire show of this seventh season is literally just like people like screwing each other over, but like you're talking about girls going with girls, guys going with guys, like threesomes, like it's all of it, and it's chaotic, it's wonderful, it's a great show.
I just started it.
It's great.
I'm like 3 episodes in and I'm so obsessed. Like we were up the other night till like 12 and I was like, wait, like I gotta go to bed, I can't watch any more like trash TV.
So
but
good.
it's so good because it's different, it's opening uh-huh. these doors of like what's available and what's mm-hmm. fucking real, like mm-hmm. it is no longer behind mm-hmm. closed doors, and it like kind of touches upon all of these things that you were talking about, right, where it's like that shit is out the door because you can no longer hide behind a profile saying mm-hmm. I want X, Y, and Z. No, because psychologically your match is this, and that's what you're going to have to find for your goddamn $1 million.
Exactly. And that is something I learned from this show. Shout out. Because
snap.
I didn't understand that about myself before. I'm like, no, you can't talk like that. Mm-mm. I'm not yeah. attracted to someone who's like girly girl.
Sure.
I'm attracted to manly men. Like, I yeah. need that. Like, I can't have that any other way. Like, that's what I was thinking yeah. beforehand. But watching that show, and more specifically, the one relationship with, I'm not going to spoil it, actually.
I'm on season 1. Don't do this to me.
Okay. You'll get to season 7, and then you'll talk to me.
Should I start with season 7, then?
You should start with season 7.
Fuck. Okay.
Especially
okay.
you being you.
Ugh,
oh,
God,
my God.
Just, you know me so well.
You would literally be like, I am open to open relationships after watching season 7.
Dude, Noah and I just went down like a rabbit hole of like open relationships, and this just makes perfect sense. Okay.
Yeah. So, but yeah, that in particularly, there's a person who is super like, I want the man of the room, and he ends up getting matched with the most like flamboyant of men.
Interesting.
And it's like, would that be my perfect match? I don't know. So it just being more open-minded with how I like talk to people and not being as judgmental. I think that's what it comes down to at the end of the day. But that's part of that yeah. exclusion.
Interesting.
There's certain people that are cut off.
Is there like, are there other factors that you would kind of like bundle into that? Or is that kind of like the biggest kind of overarcher that you're seeing?
That's what I'm seeing is like a great way of putting it. It is on Tinder and Grindr.
Oh no.
The
you can talk about it.
No, Grindr's literally that like app you delete immediately after because you feel so guilty using it. When I first used it, I was literally like, why are there 87-year-old men with penises out? Not even their face, just their belly, like their beer belly of I don't know how many years. And their penis literally scarring. For any like 17-year-old, do not go on the app. Just like avoid it at all costs. Don't be experimental in that way. Like don't do that to yourself.
I mean, if you're gonna be experimental, go on Sugar Babies. Get yourself like a sugar daddy. Dude.
Make that money. Do not make the trauma of meeting someone. I never met up with someone.
On Grindr?
Yes. Never.
Sketch.
Only Tinder. So yeah. And I have some really alarming like facts on Grindr, actually, if you want to dive into
that. Please get at me.
So
honestly, the world is our playground right now.
I'm genuinely enjoying this. Like it's growing on me, the organicness of the conversations flowing in.
You like
so,
that?
Yeah.
Daddy's making it easy.
Daddy's making it easy for me. Daddy strikes again.
Hello. Daddy's not going to pay you, but like daddy's going to be here for you.
Daddy's there for me on and off the bike.
Ooh. Oh, like the way you ride it. Okay, just give me the facts.
Okay, so I was literally like, wow, I need to talk about Grindr.
Yes.
If I'm going to be if this reaches any youth, gay youth, I'm like talking about like just don't immerse yourself in a world when it comes down to Grindr, because there are people that are grooming. There's people that are like, what I mean by grooming is like they're like you know, rapist, as far as like there are a lot more predators in the gay community specifically.
And like you're talking about like sex trafficking involved and all
that.
Oh,
that's yeah. like outside my area okay. of like what I've educated myself okay. on. But just like people that are willing to do really, really awful things to young men. Like that's, it's a fetish of its own.
Okay.
So, you know, when it talks about, there's like, HIV status. It's okay. something that I was extremely uneducated at first. Mm-hmm. Being gay, your chances of having a sexual partner with HIV is very much increased. Mm-hmm. And it's nothing that, it's something you really have to be open with about mm-hmm. your partner and just having the, you know, they have their preparations for it. Most likely you would, if you're being practicing safe sex, like, you're going to be fine. That's a different conversation. That's a healthy conversation to have. Anyone yeah. that's putting that, you don't want to put a burden on them or make them feel excluded. You know, that's genuinely, you love your mate. You know what I mean? But when Grindr, however, you have 2% of like the population that's like gay or whatever. And adult men from like ages to like 18 to like 34. And this is coming from an article co-written by William C. Godel and Dustin D. Duncan. And it was published on Jameer, which is a advancing digital health and open science topics. So they'll introduce things like Tinder, anything to do with like the oncoming traffic flow of like social interactions with like youth especially. So that's somewhere to start as far as just like formally educating. On Grindr, 63% of the 2% of men on there are HIV positive.
Wow.
So you're dealing with a large community of people who are, and they don't disclose, they don't have to disclose right away. It's the smart thing to disclose that information. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's just one thing you're dealing with on top of the many things already. And especially if you're a young child, you're...
When you don't know. You don't know what it means. You don't know what it entails. You don't know what to do. And then think of the people that, like, contract, right? They don't know when the appropriate time is to say they're young. They don't have health insurance. They don't know how to tell their parents to help and support. So they're going out and they're still having sex and they're doing whatever. And then you have spread. And again, that I think goes far beyond like the gay community, that's in the straight community, that's in every single mm-hmm. community that we see. Like I've had plenty of friends that have been infected by partners that have had STDs, haven't told them, had sex with them. And then now they're suffering and they have to like forever now tell their partners and it debilitates their sex life. Right. Mm-hmm. And it's unfair. Mm-hmm. I mean, let the person make the choice of whether or not they want to sleep with you. And most of the time they'll say yes, if you educate them.
Yes.
But unfortunately, that's not the case because mm-hmm. people don't want to have the communication, right? They don't want to have the open and honest conversation because uneducated, embarrassed, whatever that may be, but that communication just isn't there.
Mm-hmm. And more or less, I don't know, obviously I'm not straight, but I'm not straight.
Tell me one more time.
I don't know what it would be for someone who's had accessibility to sex at a younger age, you know, talking about like 15, 16 year olds. Obviously that's a majority of my friends started experimenting sexually around that same time. But yeah. me not knowing, I knew like 3 gay people in high school. So out of those 2, no, they were not it. And like, they were great friends, mm-hmm. but they were not like what I would want to be involved with like sexually. Sure. So obviously I would go to places like Grindr or Tinder. But if I was that person, I feel like there's more pressure on the young person downloading Grindr to just try it, you know, just go for it. Cause you feel like you're not going to get it. Mm-hmm. It's not accessible.
Yeah. We never think it's going to be us.
Mm-hmm. And you put yourself in that situation where, and that's just on top of it. There's the predators and then obviously HIV positive, people that don't disclose that information, unfortunately, just being on the app. That's why I'm literally like, I'm sorry, I'm dragging Grindr through the mud right now, but
it's important.
Yeah, I think so. To anyone that, I don't know, maybe has like a gay nephew or, you know, someone younger they know to be yeah. like, it's coming from, I'm not the most reliable of sources, but I mean, this is just my personal experience with like seeing the people that are on it. And you do more, you also involve yourself in a way that you're sending nudes to older men. Mm-hmm. Like we're talking about like me as a 16-year-old or 17-year-old sending nudes to a like 30-year-old. Or yeah. I don't even know if I would cap it out because you just wanted that attention. You wanted to feel normal. You wanted to feel the validation. There's layers to that. And that would never happen on a platform like Tinder unless mm-hmm. you took it to somewhere like Snapchat. Grindr just allows photos to be sent over and people are very fast. They're obviously starting the conversation mm-hmm. off with photos too. So it's like, oh, if they're doing it, I can just fold in and do that myself. And now looking back at it, very degrading. I wish there's like, if I ever wanted to start like a political career, you know, like I'm like, I could be leaked, you know, like my ash could be just on the media outlets of the world. Or if I ever did something successful in like the influencer space, you know,
there's a release. Yeah.
Yeah. And there's like that weight above my head with starting a future career. And that's where it's like, I want to start now with talking about educating that specific group of new people because it's only going to get worse. Mm-hmm. It's started off here and it's only going to go downhill for the next generation because I think, you know, there's other things with like, I don't know, it's a conversation for later, but starting off with like rebuilding that idea and trying to prevent it for other people and just saying, hey, like you don't have to do this to feel that validation, like it'll come.
Do they not have like any kind of legal reinforcement? Because you think like a 16-year-old sending, you know, photos to anybody that's over mm-hmm. the age of 18, there's gotta be like some kind of like child pornography stature that kind of goes into play, or
there, do they not? I believe there's an agreement of conditions that you sign on. So it's obviously me faking that.
Yeah.
Having like said like, oh, I was 18. There's that part of it, but even then, like, how far is it going to go to actually protecting the 16-year-old? Obviously, it didn't do much for me. It's not like I could reclaim the account and be like, I was underage at the time. Everything that was sent needs to be, like, expunged from the people who have already screenshotted, downloaded, done what they need to do with those photos.
Yeah.
It's very... I just wish, you know, you had, like, an angel on your shoulder being like, you can be more than that.
Yeah.
And you don't need to feel that like validation because you're not going to get it through normal means of society.
Yeah.
You have to go to like the layer, like the, and I can only be like imagining what it would be like for someone who was born 30 years before me.
God. Yeah. How long has Grindr been around? Do you know?
I don't know.
Dang. That's crazy. Did you, before I pivot the conversation, did you have any other stats, or is that your fave? We can dive into more.
Was a great one.
Oh yeah, later.
The article just threw out how they did a survey, and the number one response to why people were on Grindr, and these were full time workers,
mm-hmm.
was comes down to killing time.
Killing time.
How interesting is that?
That is so strange. And so people aren't even on like the dating app to even mm-mm. find somebody. It's just
quick fuck.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so then the difference with Tinder is that it is more of like a, like,
well, you can establish an age range, which on Grindr you have to have premium for.
Oh, shut the fuck up.
Yeah. So any 50-year-old is welcome to peruse your 18-year-old status. Creepy. Yes.
And so are those the two main apps that
just from my experience, I don't know many other. It's also something I don't have much faith in.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, it's like, I don't think I'm gonna meet my soulmate over this. It's kind of just like opening the conversation to maybe this being a possibility. And like with Tinder, you just talk to people.
Interesting, because like, so for my age group, and this is not like even sexuality based, but mm-hmm. sexuality based, but it's typically Bumble and Hinge are where you like are gonna be. Like, now Tinder is usually more so for like sex. Bumble is now becoming a little bit more of that aspect where you're getting just trash ass people that are really fucking creepy. And then Hinge, it's like you have a less select pool, however, like you get kind of like more of the diamond in the roughs and you can have real kind of honest conversations, and it's not just the females that are approaching the males, which is where Bumble was created. Bumble was created for women to make the first move. Interesting. So, and that's why I wasn't sure how all these other networks were like curated. I didn't know if they're like Bumble had like another subset, because again, Bumble was primarily made for, like I said, women to make that first move. Yeah. Well, the gay community is not just women. It's men, women, intersex, whatever that may be. Right. Like, so, you know, how does that work? And then Hinge, I'm sure, lets you set up your profile to whoever you're attracted to, men, women, and or both. But that's why I was kind of curious, because your generation, what I'm noticing is a lot more people are on Tinder. But for us, it's like such a like a sex cesspool.
Yeah.
So weird how the market is just so different.
I think that's true. I think that is true. It's. I feel like, I don't know the best way of answering that.
Mm-hmm. No, that's okay. I was just curious, just laying on the question.
Like, I think there's a part of it that it's specifically just being like where I've come from with Grindr being such an awful experience. Mm-hmm. It's like, I've only allowed myself on Tinder, and I'm very selective.
Yeah.
And like, I don't give out my Snapchat. I don't give out my number, or mm-hmm. I don't ask people to come over. Like, I'm not looking for that.
Yeah.
So maybe there's more accessibility on a Tinder being larger now, mm-hmm. maybe the biggest, right?
Sure.
So hopefully for our day and age, it's a little bit more, I don't know what it is for female friends of mine. I don't know what their experience is. It might be different.
Well, yeah, I mean, I know some of the girls, some mutual friends that we have and stuff, they're always like, oh, like, I was on Tinder talking X, Y, and Z, and they're your age range. So I'm like, oh, I'm like all like flustered. I'm like, oh, God. I was like, oh, my God, Tinder. I was like, make it stop. Like, so awful, because, you know, 6 years ago, six or seven years ago, I think, when Tinder was just kind of first getting its reins and everybody was starting to kind of migrate to the network, that's when it was more of like, again, like the Bumble and Hinge kind of like of my age group, as if I'm aging myself, but... You know what I mean? So it wasn't creepy. It wasn't like just for people to fuck. Like, it was literally like people were meeting each other like to date, to have these like kind of like long-term interactions. Again, now not like that, but like I said earlier, it seems like it's both males and females, gay, straight. It's all kind of one and the same.
Damn.
Yeah. Any hoozles. So last night, well, actually when we were texting, you told me at this point, you've now given me two resources, which have been amazing. I actually watched both.
You actually?
I watched the TEDx today. Okay. And I'm going to link all these out in the show notes. But first one, ideally, I want to talk about is the gender code. So I didn't know either, but I'm sure a lot of people who are listening don't know either. So it is kind of a big picture and deep dive into gender and sexuality. And it was just extremely educational. I think it talks about the tendencies of societies to call gender black and white. It goes into essentially the history of, you know, the gay community and, you know, the unfortunate kind of upcomings and where society is going now. And then one of the big things that we really wanted to talk about today was a third gender. And a lot of this is, again, there's no education on it, other than, you know, similar, there's TED Talks, there's, you know, again, documentaries like this, but they're not as like prominent in society. But I would love to get your take on, well, I guess, like, let's let people know, like, what is third gender? What are the differences? What do you like have to say? What's your opinion? I don't know. Let's get it all.
Like, I'm not speaking as no expert over here. That's okay. This is where I started educating myself too, out of the points brought up before with the exclusion topic, as far as I knew nothing about transgender people. Mm-hmm. This documentary caught my eye over the fact that this is an area that I can very much educate myself, very much humble myself too.
Yeah. There,
so much more beyond what I've experienced in like the area of transgender. But third genders are so interesting to talk about, as far as it's the in-between for a person that will be identifying as a cis male, but they're just more feminine. So you could have a cis female who's more masculine, and they're attracted to, or they become attracted by, oh my gosh, they're, so a cis man who likes women traditionally could like another cis man who acts feminine. The gender code relayed this relationship as a normal topic. This man identifies as heterosexual. He likes a male, though. How is that possible? There's the third gender of like the in-between, and this is just my understanding of it, is like the documentary explored the idea of how we connect in a masculine and feminine way. So it very much related the part of our brain as far as if we're more masculine or feminine dominated, and we're gonna find someone who's the opposite and try to best balance ourselves. So that cis male that likes the cis male that's more feminine is just balancing himself at the end of the day between that. It's so complicated, and we've had no education as a society of normalizing this behavior. It's been called gay, like faggot, you can't act that way, like that's not normal. Or someone who is a cis male, and when we're saying acts feminine, it could be they dress as like they're not transgender, they're very much comfortable with their body parts, and that they like having a dick, and that they like throwing on a wig, or they like wearing a bunch of makeup, or they like doing things that are on the feminine portrayal, not in a way that they're trying to be a faggot, or I don't know how censored this is, but like they're not trying to be gay or anything like that. Like they're not trying to hype themselves up, they're trying to live their own life. And so is that male that's attracted to that. And so also in the like gay community with like Tinder and stuff like that, that becomes fetishized for that cis male because they want it and they feel like they have to treat it in privacy. And the documentary went into that and set like right off the bat. And that was something that I was like, oh my God, I haven't even thought about that.
Well, and I spent a lot of last night. I mean, I wasn't going to text you because I figured we'd talk about it today, but I was texting somebody and I go, my heart is fucking broken. I was like, the fact that like, and we all know that this happens, but the, it just puts into perspective like how real this is and how many people are like in hiding. And like some of the people that were like interviewed on this documentary were saying like, I'm just tired of every single time, right, being on these dating apps and these people are telling me that they love me and they want to be with me, yet like I'm shined like in this dark space. I don't want this anymore. I want to put up those boundaries. Like I am real. I am human. This is my life. This is my truth. And I absolutely agree with that, right? Like it's nobody's business to say like this is or this isn't part of society. It's educating and it's unlearning these old tendencies that we have that are completely fucking constructed by, you know, the fucking patriarchy, if you want to call it, whatever you want to, you know. But sorry, continue to essentially break you off there.
Well, no, and like what you're talking about, it's been groomed for us. I only educated myself, and it started with that point being made. And this is me being open-minded. Like this goes into my faith and my religion. Like I'm an extremely open-minded person. Like if I reject any man's God, I'm rejecting them all, or I'm accepting them all. Like I'm gonna say Poseidon walked when Jesus walked too. And that's no means to disrespect anyone's culture. It's like, I'm inviting everyone in. Like, this is a big world.
Yeah.
We all live in it. We all share each other's pains. And that person that's hiding in the dark as that male who wants to wear a wig and wants to go out and just feel normal. Like, they're in that dark so much more. And I am talking for someone else right now. I'm not talking for myself once again.
True.
But yeah, it's so much bigger, and we've had no way of introducing yet. I'm going to say yet because I'm going to put it into the world right now. You can meet another person. You can maybe have a friend that feels this way, or you could identify your own self in a way that you're like, hey, this may be like what it could make more sense. Like, why am I attracted? And I should feel comfortable about this. And you live your path. You do whatever you want to do to make yourself happy.
Yeah.
There's not going to be another person in your life pushing it more than yourself. It should be a natural motivation. So that's just my optimism there speaking. But going back to the grooming of society, like I was a young boy who thought my dad's above me because he's straight. There's people below me because they're different. And it's just because we're so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
By things that are different, we don't want to speak about it.
And we're scared to ask questions, right? I think that like, because we're so PC nowadays, I think we're scared to use certain terminology, certain language, certain things that we think might either offend somebody else or, unfortunately, might make us look bad on social media, which I would much rather somebody ask the question inappropriately, but God damn it, like, ask the question because you know that it's coming from a place of learning, right? Mm-hmm. It's not coming from a malicious intent. So if somebody just doesn't understand, like, obviously, like, going in and doing the research first, but then expanding on it and saying, like, you know what, like, maybe, like, I just want to, like, reach out to somebody on a forum, reach out to somebody on social, whatever that may be, right? But coming at it from, like, a natural and real and, like, again, just place of being real and honest. Like, and I don't know, like, if you agree with that, but I think for me, again, especially with, like, my age group, it's like we're in this weird in between. Either people are stuck in their own ways or we're starting to get more open to those ideals.
If anyone ever asked me a question, I would never turn down an opportunity to be, like, open with someone and try to educate.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to ask the same thing of them, most likely. I'm going to be like, well, then why didn't you think of this way? Like, that's where we start the conversation, just becoming open with it.
Yeah. And so something that I also was thinking about last night is I think a lot of the confusion comes from people also not understanding terminology. And so, right, we talk about something I wrote down as, like, you know, talking about the third gender, but then there's also people not understanding what, like, intersex means and then androgynous. I mean, I can kind of go into it, or again, people can do, like, the research themselves, but to put it in, like, kind of easy terms for people to understand. So third gender, what we're talking about, right? There's an ambiguity between male or females. Intersex, you have both sexual reproductive organs. And then after that, a lot of times parents will choose to swing one way or the other. But typically the person might feel off in that sense because their identity is essentially stripped away. And then there's androgynous. So typically that more comes from, like, either masculine or is it a more feminine appeal in your look, or is it masculine and or feminine?
Androgyny to me, yes, is like the opposite portrayal of one's sex.
Okay. Or so, harnessing both.
Yes, in a way it's like androgynous, to where they're almost like a chameleon. So yes, you are physically presented as one way, but you will act similar to the feminine, yes, or masculine, whatever's opposite of that. And you kind of are both, and you'll sway on and off, and, you know, it's kind of like sexy, you know, you get with it, and it's very, like,
yeah, you're not tied to, like, a societal norm.
It's awesome.
Yeah. And so, and I love that, but I think that, like, you know, those distinctions are just important for people to understand. Because I think it brings a little bit of clarity when either, like, speaking to someone or being in a position where you're scared to ask the question, because at least you're educated on saying, like, okay, well, this is kind of, like, the aspect that I'm dealing with, or this is how I should propose the question, or whatever that may be, right? Again, it's just realizing that you are in the 21st century and we can no longer sit here and, again, say, like, shit is either black or shit is white. It's not like that. And there's so much ambiguity and fluidity and, like, approval across the board.
And we're just two people talking with a kitchen table and two mics.
God, you just hit my soul, didn't you? but that was a beautiful, beautiful resource. And I literally was, like, so engaged the entire time. And I thought it was so, so well done. And I don't know if, I mean, you can obviously send this to me later, but I was wondering if you had any other resources that you really love and you really want people to kind of know about, to educate on and to read on, watch, whatever that may be. Anything you've got on top of the head.
I've got stuff and we'll link it below. And this is also a source of learning for me, to where I went to the extent of, like, if I'm just unlucky, why am I unlucky? And specifically with the TED Talk we'd mentioned, it's called It's About Survival, Not Sex, spoken by James O'Keefe. Specifically, his son was gay. So he's a philanthropist questioning life, as one does, and he was worried for his son, maybe the same way that my father could have been. And
no salt.
Basically, I'm never salty with that man anymore, but actually, yeah, no, I can be. He was like, I want to make sure my son's going to be okay. And he was in a little bit more of an old-fashioned period that we're talking about 20 years ago. And so he literally went into the talking about, like, the genetic part of, like, why are people gay, and, like, relating it to the ants and the queen ant switching the genetic tags to whether it becomes a worker ant or a gatherer, or a worker or a fighter, whatever that was.
Yeah.
And I found that so interesting that I literally am, as much as I, like, am, like, optimistic or whatever. I'm like, that's a verbatim, like, factual support to why am I this way. Like, my mom, when she was having me, I collapsed her lungs, and she had the worst pregnancy with me. I collapsed her lungs. I, from what I know, my brother and sister were also hard too, but I was like the queen bee of heart. We knew this one was going to have a rough, a rough upbringing.
Oh my goodness.
And it just made sense when I started. I was like, oh my God, that's so right. That's so true. And basically what James explains is that a mother who's going through prenatal stress will flip a certain genetic code in their child to be or homosexual, because a homosexual, and this is just tested, naturally will fall on areas of compassion rather than aggression compared to the heterosexual male. And this is done more by statistical speaking. It's not fact. I wouldn't say it's that way. It's up to interpretation on how you think the science presents itself.
Yeah.
But traditionally, and what's been tested, this is how the conversation would go. And so it's produced, the gay child is produced to help the family. Like, we're not going to be the ones that are tearing apart for another girlfriend or anything. Like, we're going to be coming back to the womb or the helm of the... This is why a lot of gay children, too, naturally have better relationships with, like, the parents in the groups rather than kids their own age. It's, like, that little bit of divide. It's, like, we want to come and be creative together or something. There's, like, a natural little, like, nesting will. Closer to home kind of feeling. And... just super charismatic too, and we're like creative and butterflies and rainbows and shit like that. That's all the stereotypes though, but like that, and that's where the stereotypes come from, is like, we would test on a scale like that. If you put 10 gay bitches in a row, you would just flock them all in, and they most likely all say the same thing. And it's funny, I think every single gay person I've met, I'm like, wow. Yeah, that sounds about right. I'm like, and it's very contradicting to what I'm saying. I'm like, everyone should be open, every blah, blah. But it's like, yeah, you just have to admit sometimes there's that natural little, like, progression in, like, a gay person. And this is the area where it's supported by, is this TED Talk, as far as it's not about sex. Like, we're not trying to just another man.
Yeah.
We're, like, the natural birth control of life. We're not trying to have another child on top of it in areas that, if this was not supposed to happen, natural selection would have, like, cursed it a long time ago. We would have been out of the, and all other, like, 410 animals that have been tested with, like, homosexual would have been ruled out a long time ago. Like, I have no area or will, free will in my brain anymore to comprehend. I can try to appreciate or understand. No, there's no space in my mind for someone that's going to be like, you should not be accepted because you're gay.
Well, and that brings on the topic of, you know, the non-believers that are just like, it's a choice. I'm like, in what fucking world, right? Because again, like, Mother Nature would have had its due if that were the case.
Years ago. But my gay ass arriving on fucking May 27th, 9/23, and Corona would have not existed in this lifetime with my ass to fucking sit here and listen to that bullshit spewing out of your mouth. Like, it would have not existed.
I just only did the fact that you literally straight on brought over not only the astrology again, but the fucking birthday, the daytime, the where
you're everything. That being aligned, my ass would not have existed for you to sit here and question whether or not this is a natural occurrence. As much as my blonde fucking hair, it is natural for all people. I've never once debated that. And it's exploring too. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Everyone is, I am a firm believer, especially after watching Gender Code, is on a spectrum.
Oh,
it's how you align yourself and what you are attracted to. And it, and Gender Code does such a great job, and it visualizes. That's what helped me the most, is like, I see all them pictures, I'm like instantly attracted. It showed the different parts of the brain and like femininity with being like spiritual and like free-willed and free-spirited, and like masculine being like factual and blah, blah, blah. If you're born with one side being stronger, you're going to find the connection that balances out that like thing. So you're, and and yourself whole because you want to find the balance that you're missing. Like, we don't naturally strive to be butting heads with people that already think the same way. Yeah. Like, we're going to find the people that think the same way or mutual, but are more soft when we need to be, and like what we externally present ourselves.
Yeah.
It literally, yeah.
And that scale is
I feel like I just got my voice. I really do. Like, that just, that sparked something in me. I'm like, I'm ready to talk for another 5 hours. We could go on and on.
We can go. We can do part 1, 2, 3, 4,
part 17, baby. It's coming at you, 2024.
What's up?
Still going to be quarantined. Still going to be quarantined. Still sitting with my Del Taco fries and Mr. Pip. Shout out, Brittany.
But I love that you brought up the scale, right? Because I think about this all the time where I'm like, you know, I've had a couple conversations with girlfriends of mine, especially over the past, and I've kind of battled and questioned, right? Like, growing up, I never grew up with Barbies. I only grew up with Legos, right? Like, a male trait. I have a deeper voice. I don't have a high pitch voice. Like, when I look at the way that I dress or the things that I'm into, they're a little bit more like masculine. Mm. Like, so for me, I kind of battled this whole situation of like my entire life where I'm like, I'm not girly enough. I'm not this. Like, I'm super into fitness. Like, I have fucking wide ass legs. I can squat like three men. Like, you know what I mean? There are all these things that I've just like done, and I'm like assertive. I'm aggressive. Like, I've been called a bitch. Queen. Like, okay. Oh, what's up? Stop. But you know what I mean? So I think about that all the time, but I was like, in society's terms, like, I'm not necessarily this like feminine female that you ideally would think of. And so you have to put, and even the people that I'm attracted to. So I put myself on the scale and I was like, I can't say that I'm on this like right side, right? I definitely kind of migrate more a little bit towards that like middle end or that like 60%. But at what point can all of our, each person in our society say, hey, I can be logical enough to say, maybe I'm in that same vein, right? And why is that scary for people?
Why is it so hard? It is so hard because it's awkward to be different. It's awkward to ask that of yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know where the spectrum really lit up for me? When I walked into Gay Pride of 2019. We were in LA.
Mm-hmm.
I was very confused sexually. I was like, there are very much, she is a female. She has a vagina. But the way I was like, huh? And that's why it's like, I just didn't know. In that moment, I'm like, what? And like, it just gets so complicated. And that's where it's like, I don't know myself fully to say, like, it's uncomfortable for me, myself, to even ask that question.
I mean,
I'll only be confused about it.
Yeah.
And just like, be like, go for it if it ever came up an opportunity. That's why I'm like, gotta be open-minded.
You have to. And again, there's nothing wrong with being fluid, right? Mm-hmm. And I think about myself too, like, this is a great story from maybe four years ago. It was one of my friend's birthday. Chelsea, what's up? You're gonna just love this story. She's got a girlfriend, not straight, the most beautiful woman I've ever seen. She's got like short pomp back blonde hair, like just gorgeous. And I'll never forget the first day I met her. We all, and it was a group of girlfriends of ours, she walked by and all of us, like, I swear to God, all of our panties were wet because I have not only never seen like a more confident, beautiful woman, but we were like, we didn't know if we wanted to be on top of her, in her, next to her, with her. We wanted her. And we were like, we're all straight females, but we're sitting here starting to question, like, at what side of the spectrum am I really on? Because like, we're physically like, and this is not like, oh, we're just girls being girls because we want to make out with people and we're drunk. No, we were literally all sitting there being like, holy shit, we're all attracted to this person, right? But we all sat there and like admitted that. And I don't know if like, there's just like, again, a divide culturally and societally between it being a little bit more acceptable for females to say, hey, we're attracted to our same gender versus the masculine male saying, I have to be hard. I have to be this, like, can only like femininity, like whatever that may be, right? But again, same with your end, where I was just like, well, shit, if it's going to happen, like, I'm not ever going to say no, right? But,
and there's a proper apology too with a lot of the, I guess, referencing that I'm pulling through. Unfortunately, there's not. In James O'Keefe's TED Talk, he admits that there's not as much research done on like a lesbian relationship versus gay relationship. And then a lot of like the gender code was in the perception of
females.
The female being fetishized. So
yes,
there is the, who was a cis man. It's Luca on YouTube, by the way. I know we're going to have it linked down, but just yes. So I can be educational and I link my resources verbally. Shout out to, I can't remember, Summer something, my communications little course that I did in college. Anywho.
It's beautiful.
Pass the class. That's all that matters.
Congratulations.
Thank you. But yeah, there's not as much research done on it. And like, that's where it's like, what you're getting into about, is it more acceptable for females to be like, whatever, yeah. Weird way. Sometimes men fetishize that relationship where it's mm-hmm. like, they want to see two females make out in front of them. Yeah. I've seen it in mutual friends of mine. And like, I don't know if that behavior is okay. If I'm just being uncomfortable because that's different from what I think about, maybe it's just like everyone needs to be accepting and sexual yeah. all the time.
Yeah. And again, kind of bringing it back to where we started this conversation, where there's not enough education and we're all learning as we mm-hmm. go. There is this like revolution that's you happening. You said
second revolution. My mind yes. just sparked. I was like, oh my God, that's a great way of putting it.
Yeah. And because it is. I mean, there's no other way to put it. And, mm-hmm. and I think it's one of the most beautiful things. I think that the world right now, like as much turmoil as there is right now, I think that we need to be awake to all of these aspects, whether it be like politics, whether it be systemic racism, whether it be, you know, not enough like understanding it with like the exclusion of the gay community, right? Like these things need to be talked about, or like the third gender, whatever that might be, right? Like all of these aspects that are, again, not black and white.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're finally coming to like fruition and understanding. I think on that note, I feel like we just hit every beautiful topic, and I think that you and I can probably keep going, and I'm sure that
we'll definitely could. Yeah. You let me sip the rest of this Mr. Pip and I could go all night.
Dude, that's okay. Well, you know what's gonna happen is we're just gonna have a part 2/7/17 and go through 2024, like you said.
And I'd be completely fine with that. Yeah. I have so many different things, and there's like the idea of gay marriage and yeah. why people have problems with that. Like
yes.
my nerdy ass, why?
So. Well, we'll do it again. But so I'll link out everything that we talked about. So gender code, and then it's not about sex, it's about survival. Mm-hmm. We'll link that out in the show notes. Anything, if you...
I'll send over the Jameer publishing, anything else. There's multiple YouTube videos. TED Talk is a great place mm-hmm. about that, yeah.
Yeah. But if you have any other resources that you think might be helpful, have helped you, like you have friends that reach out, you know, that... I don't know. You get what yeah. I'm saying. But anyways, yeah, so we'll link that out. But on a final note, Noah, do you want to cheers?
Yes.
I love it. All right. Well, cheers, my baby. We'll have you back. I'm so excited.